Well, hello and welcome back to the unofficial, I think we have to say unofficial because otherwise it's not legal, parenting slash discipleship podcast by two guys who are youth pastors of your champion, Texas Rangers. Matt, Woo! We are the champions.
Yes.
My friends.
We are not just the champions. We are the World Series champions. We beat a bunch of snakes, as Rangers normally do. And this is a good time.
Who needs a home game, right? We'll just win them all on the road.
Yeah, I mean, because it was the Rays, the Orioles, the Astros, and the Diamondbacks. It spells road.
It spells road.
Yeah.
And you know what? As Corey Seager said, they ask like, hey, what's going to happen if the Rangers don't win the World Series? Well, I guess we'll never know, Alex Bregman.
Looking at you, John Smoltz.
Yeah, has there been worse commentating for against a team? I mean, my goodness. Like, I know Smoltz was pulling for the Astros, and then I know he was pulling for the Diamondbacks, but you don't have to make it that obvious.
Yeah. Hey, Arizona at 8 in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
Anyways. Feels good. Yes. Now, please enjoy the back in time starting of the actual episode. We just wanted to come in and gloat a little bit before the episode actually started.
We are the champions, my friend.
Without further ado, let's actually get into the episode. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow, a parenting podcast focused on the discipleship aspect of it. My name is Matthew Wilbanks, and I'm here with my good friend, Tim Rose. Tim, it is cold.
It is. And Matthew, before I got started over here with our podcast recording today, would you like to know what I did since it is November 1st?
I'm going to take a guess.
Go ahead.
Have you already started listening to Christmas music?
Well, I did that 3 days ago.
Oh, wow.
I was prepping services for the end of the year. I was just trying to get my planning done, and I had to start thinking, what Christmas music do we want to do? So then I started listening to it there. But no, this morning, Matt, I put up the Christmas tree in my office. It still needs its ornaments.
Yep.
But its light is already shining. I am so joyful.
That was my second guess.
Yeah. The way that I operate is November is about Christmas, except for the week of Thanksgiving. Then it's about Thanksgiving.
True.
And then December is about Christmas. And then January until January 20th is getting over Christmas. And then on January 20th in our household is the boy's birthday. Speaking of which, Matt, did you see our Halloween costumes for the boys?
Oh my gosh, those were so adorable.
I don't know any good way to describe this over air, but my kids were Slinky Dog from Toy Story. And what was interesting was they're both kind of being fussy because it's so cold outside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, little ones hate the cold. So we had to give them both Tootsie Pops. So they're just little slinkies with Tootsie Pops. It was adorable. And it was great. They were attached to one another.
Yes.
They actually ended up being the longest slinky dog you'll ever see. Because we got the biggest slinky to go in between them. And luckily, we know our kids really well. So we put Silas up front. Because Silas is our explorer, and we knew he would be good to be the front because he would do the pulling. Eli is his father's child. He could care less about exploring. So he was in the back just going, oh, okay, I guess you're pulling me here. The only downside was that it meant that the back of the slinky made a lot more noise vocally than the front of the slinky.
I mean, he is his father's child.
He is his father's child. But it was like if you put him in front, then the slinky will never work because Eli just doesn't go places unless you make him.
Yep.
So it's like you have to have Silas up front. But yeah, the back of the slinky was sitting there going, bah, 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 and the front was silent. But it was great. Yep. It was we had a good time. We have a few families that basically they do a giant thing that like the entire town comes to. So we were there and we enjoyed our time and then we went home. You know, it was a great night. Matt, did you dress up as anything for Halloween?
Yeah, I dressed up as a student writing a research paper because I was a student writing a because I was a student that was writing a research paper while watching the Rangers. But that was all I was for Halloween. I did nothing. Now for our fall festival, which was this past Sunday, I had a little booth set up for me. And I just brought my Nintendo Switch and played Mario Kart with a bunch of kids. And
I believe that's 2 years straight that that's all you've done.
Years straight. Hopefully looking for a third next year. But I was walking through Walmart the Thursday before, and I was going through, and I just look at the graphic tees because I like wearing graphic tees, but a lot of times they're like stuff I wouldn't wear. But I found one, and it simply was Mario in a cart, and it said Mario Kart, and I was like, "Well, I'm buying this." Absolutely. So I wore a t-shirt that said Mario Kart, and then I have a actual baseball cap that has the M logo for Mario, and I wore that, and that was my I guess you could say costume for our fall festival.
Yeah, I will say we not that we really needed to learn this as a couple, mm-hmm. but it was again affirmed that yeah, no one cares what you're dressed as a parent.
True.
Mary was Bo Peep. I was Woody. No one cared. Even including us, we didn't really care either. And so, yeah, I was like, yeah, next year I'm just dressing for whatever the weather is. Now, luckily, being Woody, it was cold, and so I put a vest on, and it still looked like I was, you know, a cowboy or whatever.
Yep.
But yeah, nobody cared what you're dressed as an adult, which I'm good with. I don't think anyone should. I hate Halloween. But they all wanted to see the Slinky Dog. And, you know, my favorite Slinky Dog I've ever seen.
Yep. Yeah. But this is not a podcast talking about what we did or didn't dress up as for Halloween or what we impulsed buy at Walmart. This is a podcast about parenting and discipleship. And today we've addressed this before, but we kind of want to reiterate it. As we're recording this on a Wednesday morning, I have some students, and Tim, you probably have some students or friends of students that are attending the Texas State Marching Competition in San Antonio, Texas. And we're not going to talk about that. But what I do want to talk about is my students that are going, their mom is also currently on the way to San Antonio to watch and encourage them. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today is parents, you need to get involved with what your kids are doing at school. And we'll go into a little more depth than we did last time, but this is kind of what we're focusing on. It's not just you need to be involved, is we want to give you some ways of how you can be involved. So, Tim, what are some of your initial thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've talked about, you know, your involvement with the school. We've talked about parental involvement and, you know, PTOs and stuff like that. And so specifically, we're talking not about like being necessarily part of a extra school organization. Actually talking about you getting on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit, and I say benefits that are there. And so first, like, addressing the benefit that it is to, you know, your ability to parent is like, you actually get to see your kid and your kid's friends in their actual environment in which they hang around one another.
Right.
You know, I have a few parents. So one of the ministries out here in West Texas, if you're a West Texas listener, they're out here and it's soon moving. Actually, it's over in DFW right now, moving into San Antonio and some other places. But it's a ministry called First Priority.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had one of our parents who was like, "Hey Tim, I'd love to come. I'd love to, you know, come see First Priority, plus get to say hi to my kid." So, you know, we brought her through the training and everything, and then she showed up and we were at lunch and she looked at me and she went, "Well, this is my daughter's lunch." And I said, "Yeah, I know." She goes, "Well, where is she?" And I was like, "Well, she hasn't been here all year." And the parent went, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, no, your daughter, you know, is she a faithful attender at church? Yes. Is she a great kid? Yes. Does she come to First Priority? No." And the parent was shocked. The parent was like, "Wait a minute. Why doesn't she? She says that she is. She says that, you know, that she likes it and she likes having you on campus, Tim." And I said, "Well, that's, you know, her friend group doesn't want to go."
Mm-hmm.
This is insight that as a youth pastor, we get this all the time because we're on campus. But parents don't often see this. So there's a first that's just like you get welcomed into the reality of how your kid lives. But then I think secondly, and more importantly, and more of where I want to stay for the meat of today, because I think learning things like that is valuable, but I think this is better, is it gives you an opportunity to actually engage in a mission field in which you are uniquely gifted to share the gospel. Now you may think, "Tim, I'm a parent. My kids are the ones who are uniquely gifted. They're the ones who are that age. I've listened to this podcast a while. I know that that's what they're supposed to do." And I would say you're correct that your kids are uniquely gifted in the ability to have a certain type of relationship. But you as a parent also are uniquely gifted to have a different type of relationship with those kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I started in youth ministry, I was very close in age to the teenagers. That is not as true anymore. This morning, I had the realization as I was talking with some kids about the gospel and sharing it. And they asked me, "Mister, how long has it been since you've been a believer?" And I said, "Oh, it's like 14 years. And then I went back and I went, "No, it's not 14 years. It's been 19 years.
Hmm.
And one of them said, "No one in this room is 19. And I was like, "Thanks, bud. That was great information." But as that's happened, like, my relationship with those students has changed. I went from being like an older brother to where now it's like, especially for my middle schoolers, they see me as like a parent.
Hmm.
My high schoolers still kind of see me as an older brother. That'll change in a few years. But like, you have a unique relationship there as a parent that you don't have to convince them that you love them. And honestly, with the generation that we have in schools right now, the hardest thing for any youth pastor to do, any random youth worker, et cetera, is to convince kids that they have a deep-seated love for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids see people who are fake. They see people who come in and out of their lives. You as a parent don't have to make that argument.
Right.
Say, "Look, yeah, you know, my daughter, Stacy, isn't she awesome? Like, I'm glad you're friends with her. And man, I love you because you're friends with her." They already know you're invested in them.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to capitalize on that for the gospel. So when we talk about like doing ministries, as I said, in West Texas, First Priority's one. Maybe where you're at, there's FCA. Most of the time, there's at least one Christian club that's going into the schools. And pretty much the rules that schools always put forth when Christians decide to do a club in the schools is it has to be open to every denomination, mm-hmm. which normally means you ask about three questions and you can get yourself in there. Like, there are always those opportunities. There are opportunities like we just had with the See You at the Polls sort of event,
mm-hmm.
where you can you go up to your kid's flagpole and pray. But ultimately, like, the real reason that we want to push this to you is because you have a unique ability to do evangelism there. Right. So Matt, what are your thoughts though on it?
Yeah, so I do a sort of mentor program at the high school closest to my church. And what my job is to go in and talk to students that are struggling with fill in the blank. Last year, I met with a student who struggled with anxiety and just needed a friend to talk to. And so I got in, and for an hour, sometimes 50 minutes, we're just talking about video games, what you do over the weekend, do you have any fun, how are your grades, here are some ways that I might be able to help you, give you some advice for. But this year, I have a student that got put on probation this past weekend. So very, very different thing. But through this program, what I can do is I can go into the school and I can be a consistent presence for these students, because that's something neither of them had. For my student that had really bad anxiety, every time I talked to him, it would kind of give him a way of release of just, I can talk to another person. Because sometimes it feels like that, you know, our teachers in schools, though their heart might be in the right place, it can be difficult to talk to them about certain things. Same thing with your own kids. Sometimes your kids might feel like it can be difficult to talk to you about certain things. But when you are a third party, you have no skin in the game and you are just there, that just is a release for some kids. And so you going into your school isn't just you can see your kid and how they interact at school. You can also be there for kids who don't have parents. You can be there for kids who don't have stability. And you can be a voice that speaks to them to where they're pretty much like your own adopted child. I mean, Tim, you and Mary experienced this when you first started off as a youth minister. You had a lot of kids that were that came from rough backgrounds. Their parents split, or their parents both tragically died in an accident, and you were able to bring those kids in to your lives and be that kind of voice for them. And that's what you can do when you get involved in the school, is you can kind of be like a surrogate parent that says, I want you to know that I love you, and I want you to know that you matter to me. And in the day and age that we have kids that grow up on the presence of social media, where it, like, I don't want to advocate like self-esteem, because I feel like that can be a buzzword that isn't fully defined. But what I want you to do is I want you to just show that you care. And that does so much for students, not just your own, but also students who maybe don't have parents, maybe who don't have good parents. And what you do is you open up gospel opportunities with those relationships. And that's what you should be praying for.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I looked at a young man the other day at Birmingham High School, and we were talking, and he's been to our church numerous times, but I just looked at the young man and I said, you know what? I believe in you. And he nearly broke down in tears.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, I have never had a man tell me that. Like, and you know, I feel like every time on this podcast we say anything, I just make some sort of double down for the men who listen to this podcast. But I would say that again, like, it's not just that our society has a lot of bad parents, which is true. There are a lot. It's
very true.
But it's even more so true about dads. Mm. And so if you're a man, like, I mean, I have one of my youth workers. He's an awesome guy. He works really hard at his job. You know, he basically runs a sales division of like a brake company, basically. break in other parts, I should say. But like, he takes every Thursday at lunch to come over to Odessa High School for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I know that he is going in early on Thursday mornings to make that happen. I know he had to leverage all of his ability at work. But you want to know something? When he goes in and he sees those kids, and he has his own kids at that school, but when he sees other kids and he tells them, I believe in you, I'm here for you, you watch their entire world light up. Because too frequently in our society, yeah, men, dads aren't present. Mm-hmm. Too frequently, moms don't care. They're selfish and they think about only their own good. When you can come in and say, you know what, I'm here for you, I support you, I believe in you, the next thing you know, you're going to see students, well, they act like kids are supposed to act. You know, when I tell a student, man, hey, I'm on your side, dude. Guess what student then goes, hey, could you come to my basketball game?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I show up to that basketball game, guess what student then absolutely their world changes, all because I put in a little bit of effort.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this is one of those, I remember sitting in math class when I was a kid. And they would, you know, we learned the function machine. I don't know if you did this, Matt, but you put a number in and then you have to run it through your equation and then you get the number out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learned that. And when we got to exponents, we learned that, wow. Yeah. I mean, things get big quickly. This is the same sort of thing when you decide, hey, I, as an adult, I'm going to take an hour of my time, 2 hours of my time, and go on campus and do ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, at first you may sit there and you may go, okay, well, what's really the goal here? What's really the cost? Because these aren't immediate. Because students, again, they see people go in and out. But as you stay there longer and longer, you start to go, wait a minute. This is not only valuable time, but this might be the most valuable time that I have. Because you just see students' lives changing. Because here's the deal. More and more of our students, I don't know what a number is. I would say currently probably somewhere between 30 and 45%. They don't go home to a single supportive parent who is actually promoting them to not only be the best kind of person they can be, but to be a believer. And like, when you as an adult say, you know what, I'm going to take some time out of my life and I'm going to encourage students, I'm going to build them up, and I'm going to take opportunities to show them who Christ is.
Yep.
Like, you might not only just be the positive voice in their life, but very real, very possibly, you are the only voice speaking God to them. So, you know, the challenge that I would give, the thought that I would want to leave you with as parents is like, how much is an hour? How much is maybe 2 hours? What would you have to do to make that work for your schedule? Mm-hmm. Look, I'll tell you, even as a youth pastor, I have to work my entire week around. I spend 10 hours on campus. I do a lot of it, but I have to work my entire schedule around. But there probably aren't 10 better hours that I spend than those.
Yep.
I see students who just absolutely, I mean, yesterday I had the awesome opportunity that a girl who normally doesn't lead in our first priority club, I asked her to lead. And she went, and I mean, like, apparently you give this girl a microphone and she changes into a completely different human. I mean, she just starts throwing down. Not only, you know, reading what we ask her to read, but when questions were asked of her, man, she's throwing down theology like nobody's business.
Hmm.
And she, you know, got done with it and she came over and gave me a giant hug and just said, thank you for giving me an opportunity.
Right.
Like, thank you for believing in me. So really, what is the price parent that you would have to pay to get on that campus. Because I think what ultimately we decide is we decide as parents that our comfort is more important. Because that's uncomfortable and that's weird and that's getting involved. But what I have seen time and time again is that when parents decide, you know what, I'm going to give up my comfort and go on there. You know, yes, there are students who are like, oh, I don't want to see you and talk to you. You know what happens with those students after about 2 weeks, Matt? Guess who they give a hug to the first second they see them? Their parent. Because, yeah, they actually are like, wow, I really like my mom and or dad being here and being an influence in my community.
Yep.
So I think that's a question that, you know, parents, you ought to give legitimate time and legitimate thought to. But, Matt, what are your final thoughts here?
Yeah, my final thoughts are, we haven't talked about it yet, so here it is. When we think about how it is we can make an impact on not just our own kids, but on the kids that we interact with at schools, the only verse that really comes to my mind is Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. In CSB, it says no foul language. ESV says no unwholesome talk. But no foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God forgave you in Christ. And what we see in Paul's letter to the Ephesians is that our speech carries a lot of weight. You can also look at James talking about the tongue and how we need to try to tame it and master it. Even though it is a very difficult thing, the words we say carry a lot of weight. And if we take our baggage and dump it on our kids, kind of like we talked about last episode, of you don't have to tell your kids every single grievance you have against your pastor or someone else in the church. In the same way, every grievance you have doesn't need to be said. What does need to be said are words of encouragement, words of love, words of compassion. Because that's not something the culture says. The culture says that you need to love yourself, forgive yourself, you need to do all these things for yourself. But it's never, you need to forgive other people. You need to love other people. Your focus needs to be on other people. So you doing that to students who may or may not have a good home life will do what Ephesians 4:29 says. It will... You say what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear, which means your words can be the one thing that God uses that changes someone's life. And so your words have a great impact, and your words are also paired with your actions, which means you just showing up and being consistent speaks volumes to whenever you do speak. Because if you are a consistent presence in someone's life, they feel like, hey, this person's always here, which means I could ask them anything. And then they hit it. Hey, why are you always here? Well, I'm glad you asked. According to the Bible, boom, you've done it. Because the way you talk about the Bible in school is you get the kid curious. How do you make a student curious about the Bible? You live it out. And then they ask that question, why are you so different? And so getting involved in schools is very important because you never know what could happen. I'm speaking to you as it's not if it'll happen, but when it happens, you need to be ready. You need to be grounded in the Word, and moving forward, you need to be looking to Christ on the cross, who's a risen Savior, and say, this is the reason why I'm here. And this is the reason I love and cherish you and believe in you. And that, again, can strike up something that changes their life forever.
Yeah. Boom. There it is.
I would drop the mic, but it is currently on a mic stand, and I don't want to drop the mic stand off of my desk.
Yeah. So, I mean, and in conclusion, get involved in campus ministry. You know, go talk to your youth pastor, ask him what opportunities he knows of, and yeah, go out there. Cause look, you know, your kid may originally hate it. I guarantee you they won't after a hot minute.
90%.
But there are a lot of other kids who need you to love on them. And, mm-hmm. and ultimately, as Jesus says, like, how are they going to know that you love me if you do not love one another?
Right.
So, yeah. Well, that I think is all we have. Mm. So thank you for joining us again for another wonderful week of conversation. And Matt, you normally do the close and I normally make some sort of yelly noise. So I don't know what to do right now.
Well, here's the thing. This is our 50th episode.
50 episodes.
50 episodes. We've been doing this bad boy for over a year. We've now reached over 50 episodes. Shout out to people in Missouri. You guys rock.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this. We had this conversation. Yeah. So we have some listener, you know who you are, who is in Missouri, of which we as Rangers fans would like to extend our greatest thank yous. Now, we as Rangers fans have sports hate for the Cardinals. Because of the 2011 World Series. We would like to thank you, though, Cardinals, for Jordan Montgomery. He's been a delightful addition. And thank you, even though he is now out, for dropping Adolis Garcia for us to pick up. So you all could have Hyun-Wang Kim, I believe was the pitcher. Yep. So thank you for that. And, of course, to you as a listener, thank you. We like Missouri. Missouri's a decent state.
It's got Bass Pro Shop, which is cool.
It does. Yeah, there, you know, Missouri, it low-key has a lot of cool things. Because you've got Kansas City on one side, which is a pretty solid city. Mm-hmm. You've got St. Louis, which you might get murdered there. But but it's got an arch, which is pretty dope. And I do enjoy that. And I did enjoy the one time I went to the Cardinal Stadium. But then, yeah, the middle has got some delightful bits. You still got like the top of the Ozarks kind of going on. Mm. It's an underrated state. I'll give it that.
Heck yeah. Shout out to Missouri. That is all the time we have in our episode. So we will see you. I guess you'll hear us in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Let's go, Rangers.